Luke chapter 21. And ye shall be betrayed both by parents and brethren and kinsfolks and friends, and some of you shall they cause to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But there shall not an hair of your head perish. In your patience possess your own souls. And when ye shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh. Then let them which are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let them which are in the midst of it depart out. And let not them that are in the countries enter thereinto. For these be the days of vengeance, and all things which are written may be fulfilled. But woe unto them that are with child, to give them suck, and in those days. For there shall be great distress in the land, and wrath upon this people. And they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captive into all nations. And Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the time of the Gentiles be fulfilled. And there shall be signs in the sun, and in the moon, and in the stars. And upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. For the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Dear Father, thank you, Lord, for the privilege of prayer. Thank you for this time you've given us. Lord, I pray, God, that you just bless and everything that's done. Thank you, Lord, for the good move of the Holy Spirit of God, even as we began this morning, before we ever went to the Sunday school class. Thank you, God, for you touching hearts and helping folks, and folks praying praying for one another, and testifying, Lord. God, we thank you, Lord, we're able to meet this morning in your presence. And Lord, I pray, God, that you just touch your word and touch our hearts so we might be receptive to it this morning. Meet each need. Lord, if there's one that's lost, I pray you deal with that heart. One that's backslidden upon you, God, I pray they wouldn't take another step backwards, God, but they'd start headed forward, living for you and serving you in these days. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Here in this passage of Scripture, and I guess there's probably a lot of different places I could have went, a lot of different verses we could have started on. We could have read this whole chapter. It had been good. But for sake of time, we started about there in verse 16. But there's a lot of places that the Bible tells us about what is going to happen in the last days. I'm reminded of how that Paul preached to Timothy and preached to Titus and talked to them there in the Scriptures about what would come in the last days, in the last times before the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I know there's a lot of Scripture that we can look at throughout the Word of God that would tell us about how things would be. And a lot of times maybe we focus on that sometimes. You know, in fact, the way the Lord begins to talk to some of the disciples and this, and in another passage they asked, you know, what shall the sign be, and what shall happen, what shall transpire, or what's going to be happening in those days. And we look at it and we read it and we study it and we see maybe those things coming to pass. But I want you to focus, and we're going to look at some of those things, but also I want you, where we're going to close out, I'm going to go ahead and start where we're going to close out. We're going to make a complete circle, okay? I'm going to start where I'm going to close out, and then we'll end up there in a few moments. But in verse 28, look what he said. He said, when these things begin to come to pass. You know, I reckon the emphasis is not on the things that are happening, you see. Not on the things that are transpiring in the last days, but in that the Lord's coming back, praise God. Look what he said. He said, to look up and to lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. Ain't that a blessing? I want to preach for a little bit about lift up your head. Lift up your head. And you might say, as we lift up our head and open up our eyes, maybe you can say, yes, we are seeing these things come to pass. And that's true. But you know what? We could also sit and look at these things and look with our eyes and begin to wring our hands too. We could begin to go in a direction that the world's going on. There's many going in that direction today that they've got a lot of distress. They've got a lot of fear. They've got a lot of conflicts. They've got a lot of persecutions. They've got a lot of things that happen that's weighting them down and holding them down. And even, if you will, holding their eyes down and holding their head down, that they're not looking in the right direction. We preach not too awful long ago a little bit about Job, and it seemed like we preached about every sermon about Job, and there's a lot to learn there. But old Job, you know, Job began to have troubles coming his way that would cause him to drop his head and to drop his eyes and to look back at things and to look down at things and to look behind instead of looking ahead. But we preached a message about that and said what we need to do really, praise God, is we need to look up instead of look down. We need to look ahead instead of look behind. And we need to look inside instead of looking outside, you see. I mean, that's when we begin to fall. Ain't that what happened in old Peter's life? Peter began to walk on water. As far as I know, he still holds the record for water walking, amen. But anyhow, he was walking on the water just like Jesus was. But when he took his eyes off of Jesus and he began to look around at the waters and the waves boisterous around him, you know what he said? I can't do this. And the truth is, he couldn't do it without the Lord's help, without the Lord's hand, praise God. And he began to sink, but beginning to sink, he said, Lord, save me. And God got him back on the right track. God will do the same thing for us, but tell you what, we got to start looking in the right direction. We need to start looking in the right direction. Well, I want to tell you for sure, if there's a time that we're living in, and it seems like generation after generation, or particularly decade after decade, you look at a space of 10 years, we could probably look back and say, 10 years ago we were saying, it don't seem like there's nothing else that needs to be fulfilled. The Lord's coming at any moment. He could come at any moment. And we believe that, and we teach that, and we preach that. We believe the imminent return of the Lord. That means He could come at any moment. But He also has a time set that He is going to come. He has a time set. And so, but, you know, then 10 years pass, 5 years pass, a few years pass, and we see something else that fits right into the puzzle. We see something else that fits right into what the Word of God says that's going to be happening and transpiring in those last days. Well, I want you to look at just a few things right here about four different categories of things that maybe we see some things like this going on today. And maybe more so than we ever have before, maybe more than we did in the 90s or in the 80s or in the 70s. We're seeing these things happen more frequently and more than we ever have before. Well, I tell you what, if we're not living in the last days, I don't know. Hey, listen, I'll tell you what, the Lord could come, and I've said this for all my years of preaching. I started preaching, except the call to preaching, in 1984, and I've been saying it ever since. The Lord could come at any moment, and we see so many things transpiring and happening, but there's a lot of stuff that's went on in the last couple years that falls right in line with the Word of God. It's like, praise God, we got the newspaper right here and we're reading the headlines of what's going to happen and what's going to transpire in this day that we're living in right now. The Bible says in verse 16, and ye shall be betrayed both by parents and brethren and kinsfolk and friends. And some of you, shall they cause to be put to death. He talked about increased persecution. Increased persecution. And I know that years ago we could think about times that people would make fun of one another and things like that. I never forget a man that one of the reasons he told me that he got plumb out of church is because he went back to work. He worked for the city and went back to work, and those folks he worked with began to ridicule him and began to make fun of him. I said, Lord God, why are you letting that right there hold you up? Think about what Jesus went through. Think about what others have went through. A whole lot more worse than what you experienced and just a few folks talking about you at work. You ought to live for God. You ought to serve God. In fact, I told him, we just had somebody get saved. It works in that department you used to work at. And it was a blessing. We'd been bringing been picking their kids up and taking them to church. And then the mom and dad got saved, praise God. And I said, look at that. I mean, God can bring some more folk on the other side, praise God. And there can be some peer pressure to point folks to Jesus Christ, praise God. Be some good positive peer pressure, if you will. But nevertheless, in the days that we live in, I submit to you that it's worse than it's ever been. It's worse than it's ever been. In fact, there's not just a verbal abuse or people talking about one another and talking to one another, but there's seemingly just a whole pressure that when you try to talk to somebody about Jesus and try to talk to somebody about the Lord, they'll say, well, you're not tolerant of their religion. You're not tolerant of what they believe. It's all right to just believe whatever you want to believe. Well, sure it is, you know, you're free to do that, but there's a lot of different ways that people are going, and the Bible tells us there is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. I mean, it sounds good for us to say, oh, you know, we don't need to offend that group, or we don't need to offend that group, or we don't need to offend that group. Well, I tell you what, it was pretty offensive for the Lord to be hung on a cruel cross of Calvary 2,000 years ago and to bleed and to die for the sins of mankind. Was nobody ever loved you like Jesus did? Nobody ever loved you like the Lord did? You can say something about Confucius, or you can say something about Muhammad, or you can say something about all the other prophets and all the other gurus and every other religion and everything else, but I tell you what, there ain't none of them loved you like Jesus did. And the Bible tells us there's no way but through Jesus. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. It's not being intolerant, it's preaching the truth. It's not being intolerant of folks. And we need to do it in love. My God, you do it in hatred and everything, you're not going to show the love of Christ. But what I'm trying to say is, I mean, all this pressure and all these things and what we're being, what kids are being taught in school today and what they're being, I mean, it used to be just, we talked about them being taught about coming from a monkey and everything, and now they've turned into monkeys, I reckon, you know. Because now, you know, we talk about all this in tolerance and everything. We talk about all these different things. And we talk about how we're going to restrict this and we're going to restrict that. And the reason this country was founded, one of the principles this country was founded upon was free speech. And people want to hinder that and destroy that and shut it down over the airways and shut it down from house to house and many places. You can't go anymore and talk to somebody about the Lord. You can't enter into there not knowing anybody there because they've got certain restrictions and everything. I'll tell you what, unto God, I'll tell you, folks still need to hear the message of the gospel. Still, folks still need to hear the truth of the Word of God. They can call it being intolerant if they want to, but it's not intolerance. It's truth that folks need to hear. But there'll be a day of increased persecution. And I'll tell you what, it's in such a way today that you wouldn't even think of. Some years ago, and brother will be here tonight talking about Canada and everything, but some years ago they shut down every type of broadcast, television, radio, anything that you would ever preach anything against homosexuality. It's illegal in Canada. It's illegal. It's against the law. You can't be on the radio. You can't be on TV. I don't know how much strong the law is concerning the folks in the pulpit and the local churches, but that's the next step. And it's the next step in this country right here. Some have begun to talk about different issues and everything concerning abortion and everything, and they said, well, you've got to apply now to be a lobbyist in order to preach against those things and to say something against things. Well, you know, it's not a lobbyist. Hey, man, that's something political that man's come up with. I mean, we're just preaching the Word, praise God. You got Scripture, I think you need to preach it, amen? You got the Word, you need to tell it, praise God. But, I mean, ain't it sad that these things are coming about and these things are happening and we don't know what's around the corner. We don't know what might transpire before this year is up. And restrictions on churches and restrictions on radio broadcasts and restriction on the television and other media. They'll say, oh, you can't say that. You can't do that anymore. Persecution's at a heightened level, greater than it's ever been before. I mean, some of these things they talk about it and debate about it, and I'll tell you what, we just don't know when at the next moment it's going to be thrown right in our face. Look back in verse 12 of Luke chapter 21. He says, "But before all these things, they shall lay their hands on you and persecute you, deliver you up in the synagogues and in the prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. And it shall turn," I like this, "it shall turn to you for a testimony." Praise God. You read about some of the persecutions that men have went through and folks have went through down through the years, and I'll tell you what, it'll just strengthen your faith, praise God. I remember many times reading, in fact, in high school, I did an essay. I was talking about some of the stuff, maybe it was last week, about missions, but I did an essay in high school about the Fox's Book of Martyrs. I took that book right there and did an essay on it. And I mean, just went down through all the, and I'll tell you, reading through that book, it'll just touch your heart to see how many have give up their lives for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they didn't recant, and they went to the whipping post, or they went to the stake, or they went to be burned with a smile on their face, because they knew that it was all in the hands of God, and if God wanted them to go, praise God, if it was their time, they was going to go. Praise God, if it wasn't, they couldn't do nothing about it, amen. We was talking about that Polycarp recently. We was listening to a song about that. And I'll tell you what, man, that stirs my soul to read testimonies. They say Polycarp, he was actually a disciple of John. He knew one of the apostles personally. He wasn't an apostle, but he knew one of the apostles personally and won to the Lord under John, under John the Beloved. But anyhow, when they tried to kill him, when they tried to burn him at the stake, they began to light the flames upon him. They began to light the wood around him. But then God sent a wind by and blew the fire out. Amen. And they tried it again, and God sent another wind by and blew the fire out. They said, "Why don't you recant? Why don't you recant?" They would burn his feet, and his feet would burn a little bit, and he'd feel that burning up in his feet, and then the wind would blow, and it'd stop again. And he said, "I'll tell you what, he's never done me wrong." Amen. He hasn't done me wrong yet, and the Lord's not going to do me wrong. He said, "I'm not going to recant. I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to back down." And there's many have done that in this day we're living in right now. They say there's more persecution, there's more people being martyred for the cause of Christ than at any point in history. We don't see it in America as much, but it's in other countries. And can you imagine somebody in some of these Muslim countries that they tax you if they find out, they tax you more if they find out you're a Christian. Then you begin to witness, and they put you in jail, and they treat you worse than any other criminal that they have for any other crime. That's the worst crime you can commit in a Muslim country, is to just say you're a Christian. Ain't that sad? And all the lives that have been killed, and all the folks that have died, and folks are dying today for the cause of Christ and for the cause of the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's an increased persecution. But the Lord says, lift up your head. Lift up your eyes. Not only that, but let me say there's increased conflict. Look in verse 20. The Bible says, "And when ye shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh." Often, almost every Sunday, we mention, let's pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And the Bible commands us to do that, to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. But I'll tell you what, what's going on this day and time is an increased hatred of the Jews, an increased hatred of Jerusalem and Israel, and saying, why aren't they tolerant of other nations? And why aren't they giving up this land and giving up that land and giving up these things? And oh, it just continues to increase and continues to get harder and worse. I talked to a fellow that was from, he was a Palestinian. He was in Lebanon a few years ago. I remember witnessing to him and talking to him and getting to share the gospel with him. And his mother was raised Catholic, but yet he was he really didn't claim any type of religion at all, I reckon. But we began to talk, and he said, I just can't understand it. But I tell you what, you can't go against what the Word of God says. God's Word is true. It's going to transpire. It's going to happen just like God said it in His Word. And said, what about all the conflict? What about all the strife and everything? I said, one of these days, it's going to cease. One of these days, it's going to cease. When the Prince of Peace comes back, when the Lord comes back and He's ruling and reigning, I said, friend, listen, you walked upon the land that the Lord is going to walk upon. When He comes down to this earth again, He's going to rule and reign for 1,000 years. Ain't that something? Ain't that going to be a blessing? Hallelujah. I tell you what, think about it. Lift up your eyes. Lift up your heads. There's an increased amount of conflict. The Bible tells us back in verse 10 that nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. The Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 6, and you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Somebody said there's been some type of conflict and some type of a war, some type of a civil war, some type of a scrimmage or something other, or skirmage, what going on somewhere in the world ever since World War II. They said World War I was the war to end all wars, and then World War II was the second war to end all wars. But after that, there's always been some type of conflict going on. Our country, brave men and women are fighting today in foreign lands for the peace of our country and the safety of our country, and hopefully that we wouldn't see another terrorist attack upon our soil and upon our land. And I thank God that we have those freedoms, and we thank God that we have those men and women that will fight for America and it will stand for some principles. But we sure don't know where that's going in the next few months. We sure don't know where that's going in the next few years. I'll tell you what, we loosen up in one area and we slack up in one area, it might break out stronger in another area. Can you imagine? They said that they gave the projection of how far definitely it would go if a missile would leave North Korea. They said definitely it had no problem hitting Hawaii. Have no problem if it's launched from there in North Korea. They're working on it today. The Iran has give them help and technology and everything to get their missile up and ready to go. And they said they're going to launch it. They're going to launch a missile from North Korea. I mean, you're talking about on every land and every area of this globe, there's conflict and there's war and there's people that hate America and they hate what it stands for. There's a lot of people who hate America because it's supposed to be a Christian nation. If they only knew how unchristian we were, they wouldn't be mad at us, I don't reckon. Ain't that right? But the principle that we stand for and that we've stood for all these years, and we still thank God, have it on our money, that we're one nation under God, thank God for that. But I'll tell you, there's going to be an increase in conflict. There's going to be an increase in disasters. Look in verse 25. The Bible says, and there shall be signs in the sun, in the moon, in the stars, and upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the seas and the waves a-roaring. Latter part of verse 26, he says that the earth, that there's a coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. I'll tell you what, you can try to take care of Mother Earth all you want to, but I'll tell you what, Father God's in charge. Father God's in control. And there was a tsunami that came through just recently, and they was wondering about how bad it would be. Thankfully, it wasn't bad as what they said. But, of course, we know the tsunami that came through and killed tens of thousands here just a few years ago. The hurricane that came through and destroyed New Orleans and Gulfport and those areas. And we have seen just a greater increase in some of these natural disasters, as we call them. We call them natural disasters. But you know what? If you believe this book, you know that God's in charge and in control of everything in this world. He's in control of the very elements of this world. He has them all in His hand. Hey, how simple is it for the kids to sing that He's got the whole world in His hands? And adults don't believe it. And grown-ups don't believe it. But He's got the whole world, praise God, in His hands. If He wants to cause a little conflict here or there, He can just do a little bit. Doesn't take much. Because he's the one that made it. He's the one that spoke it into existence. I believe God does a lot of things in this life to get us to wake up. If we would just wake up and come back to God, what a blessing it'd be. But you know what? The Lord tells us to lift up our eyes. The Lord tells us to lift up our heads. There's a lot of things that we can look at. I've been hearing them give this as kind of an advertisement on the radio talking about the how the Scripture tells us that one of these days tribulation period, there'll be the two prophets that are killed, and then they'll come back to life, and the whole world will see it. The whole world will observe it and watch it. That's written in your King James Bible 2,000 years ago. It's written in the Word of God. Well, that was absolutely a ridiculous statement. For man to look at and think about it, it becomes a ridiculous statement that they can't understand and comprehend without satellite TV. There's no way it'd be possible. It would be an impossible thing without satellite TV and worldwide computer connection now and all of those things. There's stuff that's broadcast and stuff that's seen and stuff that's observed and stuff that shouldn't even be broadcast nowhere. It's put out over the internet and everything. And there's all kinds of things that people can see and observe and find out about in a very short amount of time that wasn't even thought of possible 20, 30 years ago. But it's recorded in the Word of God that it would happen. Another thing the Bible tells us over in 2 Peter chapter 3. Boy, I hope nobody's got a roast in or a chicken in or turkey in or... Listen to this. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 10 says, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works therein shall be burned up. See then that all these things shall be dissolved. What manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God?" That's the tribulation period, the coming of the day of God. "Wherein the heavens shall be being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat." Two different times he talks about the elements melting with fervent heat. There's no way we could comprehend that and understand that 50, 60 years ago. And I don't know how good we comprehend it now. But talking about conflicts again. The end of World War II, we dropped the atom bomb. Two different places in Japan. And when the atom bomb was dropped, that right there, the technology for that had to be that the elements had to be separated. The elements, the atoms, if you will. And they say that in everything, we've found out that there's atoms and neutrons and protons and a whole bunch of other stuff. And it's all circling around one another and everything. That's a real good science lesson. Now, y'all hang in, hold on here. This stuff's a circling around and a moving around. You got that? That might not be exactly how it's in the science book, is it? Can you imagine? All that stuff's a moving and a circling, but it's still all held together. It's still, we're talking about solid matter. It's still held together. But you know what? You know what your Bible says? The Bible says that by Him, by Jesus, all things consist. Wonder what's holding it all together. I think He is. Amen? I think the Lord is. Amen? I believe He's holding it together, praise God. And if He lets His finger up on it, up off of it, this whole world could explode into fire. It's not all going to explode, but different parts of it are. Different places all throughout the world. You read through the book of Revelation, different times it talks about a third part of this, a third part of that, and God burning this. He said He wouldn't destroy it again with a flood, but it's going to be destroyed again one of these days with fire. Oh, y'all Bible thumpers, y'all crazy. What you talking about? Yeah, they thought Noah was crazy too when he preached for 100 years at the ark. About the flood coming, about waters coming down from heaven. They said, "No, wait a minute, Noah, that ain't never happened. Ever since we've been taking care of this earth, there's been a mist that's come up. Ever since we've lived, there's been a kind of a greenhouse canopy around this earth, and we've never seen any water come down from heaven. What are you talking about? You're crazy, man." The only thing God had to do was bust that bubble in those days. The only thing He had to do, and the Bible tells us that that the waters that were in the firmament came down, and the waters of the deep were broken up. I mean, you're talking about a catastrophic event that changed the very face of this earth. And they laughed at him and they scorned him and they mocked him as he preached the truth of the Word of God. Tell you what, there's some greater disasters than we've ever thought of and we've ever seen that's coming on the face of this earth. And there's many that have increased in these days. Not only that, but last of all, let me give you this. Here's where I've tried to head all morning. I'm just going to have to hit this and close, I reckon. But think about it. There's going to be some increased fear these days. Look at verse 26 of our text. The Bible says, men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. Oh, if there's ever been a time that folks are perplexed and fearful and just all kinds of things going on in their minds, not just because of the conflicts and not just because of the disasters, but also there's financial disasters that have crushed folks' lives. I can't imagine somebody being in an elected position that would stand up and make a statement such as that folks ought to commit suicide. That's about the, yeah, amen. I agree with that. About the stupidest thing I ever heard of. Somebody that's an elected official say that, you know, these folks, and I know that people do things wrong. They're greedy and they cause problems and they need to be taken care of and it needs to go through a certain process and whatever. You know, tax them to death. Everybody else is taxed to death. But not tell them to kill themselves. Is that ridiculous? Is that crazy for somebody to promote suicide from some of the highest offices in our land? There's some people got some fear in their heart. There's people got perplexity in their life. Said it would happen in these last days. And it's greater than anything we could ever imagine. It's greater than what we could think about 10 or 15 years ago. What's happening right now? The fear and the anxiety that's in folks' hearts. The Word of God's true. It's all going to transpire just as God said it would. The Bible tells us in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 3, that let no man deceive you by any means, that this day shall not come except there come a falling away first, that the man of sin may be revealed, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God and that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Has there ever been a day like we're living in today that people wouldn't care whether anybody thinks anything about God, whether anybody worships God or is concerned about the things of God? A lot of folks don't care today. They could care less. Somebody in control and in power and in leadership, they don't care if they know anything about God in this day. One of these days there's coming a man, just like the Scripture said, called the Antichrist. And the Bible says in these last days the spirit of Antichrist is already working. It's already working. Everything's already been set. The stage has already been set. Praise God. What does God tell us in verse 28? When these things begin to come to pass, they're in full stream, folks. Praise God. They're not just beginning. They're in full stream right now. When these things begin to come to pass, it says, lift up your eyes. Lift up your heads. Praise God for your redemption. Draweth nigh. We only got one place to look, folks. And that's to look to the Lord. I've thought about, man, this could be a whole other message, really. Think about, I mean, the Bible tells us about lifting up our voice. Over in Isaiah 58, verse 1 says, cry aloud, lift up thy voice. Amen. Spare not. The Bible tells us about lifting up our eyes. He said in Psalms 121, I lift up my eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. Amen. We could talk about, he talks about lifting up our hearts, lifting up our soul, lifting up our hands, lifting up our swords, lifting up a banner, lifting up a standard. All these things are mentioned in the Word of God. The Bible tells us in John 4:35, it says, say not there yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, he says, lift up your eyes. Look on the fields, for they are white unto harvest. God isn't telling us to look down, he's telling us to lift up our eyes. And thanks be to God, I tell you what, the Lord's the one that's going to be able to lift us up and carry us through and take us through every storm and every trial and every conflict and every disaster that this world's facing. If you're saved by the grace of God, we don't have nothing to do but look up. We don't have nothing to do but lift up our heads. Give God praise and glory. Praise His holy name. James 4:10 says, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. Praise God, last of all, ultimately, one of these days, we're going to be lifted up out of all this mess. Praise God, I'll tell you what, we can lay it out and we can look, and like I say, there's other scriptures we could go to from Genesis to Revelation to tell you about what's going to happen in the last days. And we're in it right now. We're in the midst of it right now. We're not just in the beginning of it, but we're right here in the midst of everything the Scripture says. But the Bible says one of these days, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 16, for the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, the trump of God shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. There's some lifting up, praise God. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Praise God. Humble yourself and He'll lift you up. I tell you what, I'm a-going. Praise God, I'm a-going. I'm ready to go. Praise God, I'm a-going either by the clods or by the clouds. I'm a-going one of these days. And you can too if you're saved by God's grace. Well, ask the musicians to come around with a song, the Lord Knows Your Heart. Message has been a little scattered or whatever.